Welcome to Word of Hope Ministries. Bible teacher Perry Stelter has been in ministry for over 10 years with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people seeking biblical reconciliation. His passion is making the Bible come alive. As Perry's wife, I, Angie, have seen God set the direction for this ministry since day one. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now here's Bible teacher Perry Stelter.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're doing well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for all the things that you give us that point to you. As we open the scriptures, they point to you. As we look at nature, it all points to you. And as we go through life and interact with the people around us, some of those conversations point to you as well. And so I thank you, Jesus, that you are the center of everything that we experience as believers, and so help us to be sensitive to what you're trying to say to us through your word today. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Lessons from nature. Well, as we've moved into another year, and as we face all the responsibilities of living our lives in this world, we all have the pressures to pay our regular bills and all the unexpected bills that are common to us all, and some of the expenses that we encounter are only common to a few people. Just because as life is happening to us all, we each go through a unique set of circumstances and situations that bring with them their own expenses, that bring with them their own responsibilities. Today, my brothers and sisters, we're going to be taking a look at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 6. That's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. And Matthew was the author of the Gospel of Matthew. And Matthew presents Jesus within this gospel as the Jewish Messiah sent by God to fulfill the Old Testament prophecy. And so when we take a look at chapters 5 to 7 in Matthew, we see the words of Jesus in red. And so we have Matthew, the former tax collector, quoting Jesus as he tells the gospel story, as he tells the story of what Jesus did, the people he encountered, and what he said as he was interacting with a wide variety of people. One thing we can be guaranteed of is that Jesus is the best teacher that we will ever encounter, we will ever come across. And the lesson that Jesus gives us here today in the Gospel of Matthew, we see him using examples of eating and working and worrying and being clothed, and he does it in a smooth way. He does it with smooth and natural transitions from each topic to the next. And this is done in such a beautiful fashion. It's like a beautiful orchestra of music being played, or it's like a beautiful painting being drawn or painted right before our eyes. It's like the most creative Facebook post. It's like the most creative and interactive TikTok post or Snapchat story or post or picture you've ever heard or seen. Our attention span isn't very long, and so Jesus grabs our attention here and keeps our attention as he moves from topic to topic. But then he has a main point that he is trying to deliver to the people, and he wants them to listen to his words. Because he was not just a good teacher, he was and is the Son of God, and as the Christmas story tells us, he came to save the people from their sin, and he came to bring good news for all people. Just like he said he would.
I said, when the trumpet sound, he's coming back for me.
Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34. Today I'm going to be reading from the First Nations version of the New Testament. This is why I am telling you not to be troubled about getting enough to eat or drink or what to wear. Is eating, drinking, and clothing yourself all there is? Does your life not have more meaning than this? Well, my brothers and sisters, as we continue to move forward in this new year, and as we all deal with the responsibilities of living this life, we can all relate to staying on top of our expenses and looking out for the basic needs of our family members. And so in this passage, we are all challenged by Jesus himself about there being more to life than just working or worrying about our basic needs, but yet it sure doesn't feel like that at times, now does it? On the one hand, these teachings we come across in the Bible are easier said than done, but yet at the same time, we are still commanded to enter into those teachings and still live them out, even if they are easier said than done. And so many times we get caught up in trying to take care of our responsibilities, but then sooner or later things calm down. We can allow ourselves to put our focus on the things of God and what He wants us to do. And so our attention needs to be on what Jesus wants, on building the kingdom of God. You see, there's a big difference, as we all know, between when this was written in AD 50 to 70, so about 70 years before Jesus was born, and the year 2022. You're all smart people, so I'm sure you can all visualize a comparison between this Gospel of Matthew that was written, what it was like during those times, and what it is like now. But yet, the truth remains the same. Myself, after I've investigated it a little bit, I was reminded that there was a limited fresh water supply back then, and also the way the sanitation systems were set up. There would be all sorts of waste products in the streets, and sometimes inside certain dwelling places. In some situations, you would find dead bodies rotting in the street or close by, not too far away from where you would be trying to eat or sleep or relax. And as we can all imagine, the people then didn't have ways to store or preserve the little food that they did have. And it certainly wasn't at all like the food we eat. And so when we take a look at the scriptures in general, we see a lot of references to living day by day. And we have no idea what it is truly like to literally live day by day for all your needs. Remember, little fresh water, only a few ways of preserving your meat, bread only lasting so long. All these issues of the smells and the sanitation close by. Yes, the Romans did have a lot of good ways of developing these water systems and these sanitation systems. They were not always perfected everywhere you went. And so, thinking about the context of looking back at the time when this was written, in the context that Jesus is giving these teachings. Verse 26, "Look to the winged ones who soar on the wind. Do they plant seeds and gather the harvest into a storehouse? No, but your Father from above gives them plenty to eat. Do you not know he cares even more for you? Can worry add even one more step to the length of your life's journey? The first thing is how effortlessly the birds fly in the sky. Secondly, we see that the birds don't work or toil for their food. Thirdly, we see that God not only cares for the birds, but God cares even more for us humans. Fourthly, we see a statement that worrying about meeting all the basic needs of life won't extend the very life that God gave us in the first place." And as we all are aware, that worrying will actually add more health problems to our lives. Worrying can actually shorten our lives. And so sometimes these facts can overwhelm us, because there are many times we go through different seasons where we worry more than other seasons in life, but yet we're faced with these medical facts about worrying, and we feel like, well, I can't control all of my emotions all of the time. I'm not perfect, and that is true, but I think this is why we also see in Scripture God telling us through the different writers of Scripture that our lives are very short, and they're like a mist that is here and then gone, or our life is like the grass. It is burned up by the fire and consumed. And so this is the tension that we live in. On the one hand, life is short. On the other hand, we're not supposed to get caught up in worrying about these things that God will help us take care of.
A thousand times I've failed, still your mercy remains. And should I stumble again, still I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame. In my heart, in my soul, I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love my soul. I give you control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace. To love you from the inside out. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all flame. And the cry of my heart is to bring you praise from the inside.
Verse 28, why do you trouble yourself with what you wear? Have you seen how the wildflowers grow in the plains and meadows? Do you think they work hard and long to clothe themselves? No, I tell you, not even the great chieftain stands in peace, who as Solomon, wearing his finest regalia, was dressed as well as even one of these. And so here we see a shift from the father taking care of animals and plants to him taking care of humans. Well, Solomon was seen as the richest man during biblical times, and he amassed so much wealth, and there was so much beauty that surrounded him in his kingdom. Things were well organized. Things were based on his wisdom that he shared with people like Queen Sheba, who came and gave him all sorts of gifts. And so this is why Jesus chose to use him as an example, because it talks about even Solomon in all his splendor was not dressed as fine as one of these flowers in the field. And so God the Father takes care of humans with such detailed care. How can we worry? In fact, he takes care of the flowers just as much as he takes care of us. And so Jesus also chooses a man in his story that comes directly from his lineage, from the line of David. But the focus here is on Solomon's wealth and his splendor that surrounded him. So it's interesting when we take a look at some of these examples. We see on the one hand, God, the Heavenly Father, clothing these flowers that are here today and gone in such a short amount of time. And at the same time, going to the other extreme and referring to Solomon, the richest man in all of his splendor. And so our God is a generous God. He loves to take care of his children. He loves to take care of his creation. Verse 30, if Creator covers the wild grass in the plains with such beauty, which is here today and gathered for tomorrow's fire, will he not take even better care of you? Why is your face so small? There is no need to say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? This is what the nations who have lost their way have given their hearts to. But your Father from above knows you need these things.
Gather round, children, got a story to tell you about a man who lived long ago. Now he was a leper and he needed a healing, but he didn't know where to go. So the prophet told Naaman to go to Chile Jordan, and there old Naaman would find that after 7 times into the muddy water, God delivers right on time.
God was in time for the children of Israel to cross the mighty Red Sea. He was on time when the walls of Jericho fell, and Joshua's
His feet. Every time I feel discouraged, don't have to wonder where He'll be. God's been in time, on time, every time for me.
Now there stands little David with a sling in his hand, right before the giant so tall.
So tall.
And it was unlikely then to all of those men. Surely Goliath would fall. And when the three Hebrew boys wouldn't bow down to Baal, the king said they'd cross the line. They were thrown into the flame, but then the fourth man came and got delivered right on time.
God was in time for the children of Israel to cross the mighty Red Sea. He was on time when the walls of Jericho fell. Joshua's feet. Every time I feel discouraged, don't have to wonder where He'll be. God's been in time, on time, every time for me, for me, for me.
Yes, my God was in time.
In time for the children of Israel across the mighty Red Sea.
He was on time
when the walls of Jericho. Every time I feel discouraged, don't have to wonder where He'll be. God's been in time, on time, every time.
Every time God's been right on time.
In time, on time, every time for me, for me, for me.
And so here we see another shift going on here, another shift in thought. Jesus goes back to nature as an example, and then specifically goes to the topic of faith. And not just faith in general, but the bad example of the nations who have lost their way. The example of pagans, the example of non-believers, the example of the Gentiles. Isn't it interesting when we're sitting around the coffee table or at our favorite coffee spot, or we're at somebody's house and we're talking about whatever comes to mind at the time, we sometimes will think of someone who isn't living for God. We will often refer to that person as someone who has lost their way. Yet Jesus here applies that truth to someone who can't follow this advice of worrying too much about your basic needs. Now that's something to really think about. On the one hand, Jesus is saying, don't be like the nations who have lost their way. Don't be like unbelievers. Don't be like people who don't truly believe in me. Don't be like them. Don't become so concerned about the basic needs of life that it overtakes everything else. Verse 33. If you will make Creator's good road your first aim, representing His right ways, He will make sure you have all you need for each day. So do not worry about tomorrow's troubles. It is enough to trust the Creator to give you the strength you need to face today. And so as this passage is talking about Jesus, we have Jesus here summarizing things and making His main point. And His main point is focus on the kingdom of God and everything else will be taken care of. When you wake up every morning, make the Creator, make Jesus the focus of your life and ask Him for strength for that day. Just focus on that day. Just focus on today and make the most of that day. I don't believe this passage is saying don't make any plans at all. Don't be organized. But we need to do a better job of just focusing on today, as this passage tells us. And as we're just focusing on today, we make Jesus the center, the kingdom of God, the center of our day. And the things we're trying to do for our families, provide shelter, provide food and clothing, will then come more naturally when we're not consumed by those needs. The Apostle Paul also talks in a similar way by replacing anxiety and worry with faith. In Philippians 4:6, he says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And so another way to say this too is that we wake up in the morning, we ask God to help us provide the necessities of life for our family members, but then we go on with our day, moving forward, knowing that we've asked God already to help us, we've asked Jesus already to help us. Now put our focus on more important things. Now focus on the things of the kingdom of God. Now we focus on how we can make an impact in someone's life, whether that's through our career, our Monday to Friday job we go to, or whether that's through our college or university experience, or whether that's through volunteer experience, or maybe you're going through a time where you're not employed and you're receiving some sort of benefits that help provide the necessities of life. Well, then maybe that's a time to spend more time with God in devotions, reading His Word, helping other people. And so each of us is in unique situations right now. How can we all make the most of the unique, the specific circumstances we find ourselves in without allowing these basic needs to override the more important things that God wants us to do? Planning has to be in its proper perspective. Yes, we still plan and organize ourselves, but in a way that doesn't put our emotions in the driver's seat. We move forward with our lives in a way that doesn't allow us to be like the nations who have turned away from God, who have never believed in God in the first place. Today, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, we have taken a look at lessons from nature coming directly from Jesus himself, and he uses the examples that absolutely everybody can relate to. Everybody on the face of this earth has to deal with eating and drinking every day. Every person on the face of this earth has to worry about clothing themselves. Every person on the face of this earth can relate to birds and can relate to the stories in the Bible. Jesus always used things that were directly in front of us because he knew we could relate to them. And so it's my prayer today that I take this teaching more serious, that if you're struggling with not taking these teachings from Jesus more serious, that you would as well. I admit, even as a Bible teacher and as somebody who does the work of a pastor who preaches and who helps with worship in the church, and as somebody who does a lot of writing to a wide variety of audiences, I admit that I do not always do a great job of asking God for help in these areas and then leaving it with Him. I often find myself in situations where I'm saying, God, didn't you hear my prayer? God, remember I was talking about that bill that I'm trying to take care of? God, didn't you hear me when I asked about that? But that type of thinking is always so futile because, of course, even when we don't speak it, God knows all of our thoughts. And so God knows what your needs are. And the Bible even says he knows about our needs before we even speak about them or even know about them. God is working things out in advance, and I'm sure we could all tell stories that testify to God doing that in your life. And so let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the listeners. I thank you for Matthew, the tax collector who became a disciple and left everything to follow you, Jesus. And here he is quoting the things that you said when you walked amongst the disciples, when you walked those dusty roads, those roads filled with poor sanitation, poor drinking water, people struggling to get food to eat every day, and so many people literally woke up every day, did not have food in front of them, and said, how am I going to eat today? And so you were speaking to those people, but you're also speaking to us. Help us to take these things to heart and to spend time in prayer asking for your help, knowing that we don't have to do it alone. And so help us, Lord Jesus Christ, with this challenge. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Word of Hope Ministries with Bible teacher Perry Stelter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. For more information, go to wordofhopeministries.ca.